Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Today is the day for about 2 million federal workers to tell the president and Elon Musk whether they want to stay on the job. Here's ABC's Christiane Cordero.
Nearly 2 million federal government workers face a deadline today to take a buyout from the Trump administration or risk being fired. At least 40,000 government employees have already accepted the buyout, representing about 2% of the federal workforce.
The buyout's part of Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. Democrats in Congress are demanding to know more about his role in the administration now that Musk has access to millions of federal workers' personal information. The proposal to take over the Gaza Strip by the Trump administration is being met with pushback by the Palestinians. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas calling it a serious violation of international law. Police say the shooter who killed 10 people in Sweden's worst mass shooting earlier this week had a connection to the adult education school where it happened. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks. It's actually more like a half pick, as I sort of enjoyed the film Amelia Perez. The musical crime drama, yes, you heard that right, has 13 Oscar nominations, including for Best Picture. The story is about a ruthless drug cartel boss who hires a lawyer, played by Zoe Saldana, to help him through the gender transitioning process and to help him disappear afterwards. The logline really grabbed me, but I thought it started slow and didn't like the look of it. It did pick up steam and provided some gripping, intense moments. Ultimately, it's a little unsatisfying in my opinion, and I tend to agree with the reviews it received on Rotten Tomatoes. The film got a 73% fresh rating from critics, which is good, but a little lower than you'd expect for a film nominated for 13 Oscars. Only 18% of audiences like the film. Having said that, it still might be worth a watch, as you don't see many musical crime thrillers where cartel bosses have sex change operations. The film is free to view on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks and their losing streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks snapping a four-game losing streak by beating the Hornets in Charlotte 112-102. Damian Lillard, with 29 points after Giannis, had to sit out the game with a sore calf muscle. Next, the Bucks face the Hawks tomorrow night. Head coach Doc Rivers.
No one likes losing, I can tell you that. So getting a win, going to Atlanta, you know, hopefully having Giannis back and see what we have from there.
The Bucks making moves before today's trade deadline, sending Chris Middleton and their first-round pick A.J. Johnson to the Wizards for Kyle Kuzman and Wisconsin native Patrick Baldwin. Then last night, they picked up a center, Jericho Sims, from the Knicks for guard DeLon Wright and Cash. NFL, the Chiefs and the Eagles back on the practice field. Do the Packers have enough experienced players to make it to a Super Bowl? Packers running back Josh Jacobs.
I think that it can go either way, honestly. But I think that what we need is just some guys that we know that in this league are already proven and they've done it at a high level.
That's Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll go in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar to discuss my week-long fast before being joined by Reggie Jackson for a conversation about race in the state of Wisconsin.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The snow is done, but it is going to be windy today, so there could be a little blowing snow at times, especially in rural areas. Our high 25, it'll be partly cloudy, wind will be west, gusting to near 40. Three above tonight, looking forward to more snow from Friday night through much of Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 22.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
In the 3 o'clock hour with my special guest co-host Tom Polsiewicz, we discuss how Trump's heartless ethnic purges will make you and your family less safe right here in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Good morning on this Thursday, February 6th. This is Midwest Farm Report, and I'm Ben Jarbo. It's an icy one out there today, and I was trying to back up into a parking spot here in the parking lot and started sliding forward. We'll see if that's something we can continue to expect throughout the day in just a few moments with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muff. Also on tap for today, we will hear from our friends over at EverAg as Matt Tranel tells us what we are seeing with the dairy markets. We will also get to hear from Lisa Bernard with the Dane County Humane Society to see how many people it actually takes to help nearly 4,300 animals a year. Also on the docket, Stephanie Hoff joins us with Luke Buholzer from Klondike Cheese, where he gives insight on nearly a year after the new weight limits have gone in place, how that has improved efficiency at their company. But before we get to that, Charity Seebecker tells us about how one county here in Wisconsin is using a unique product to help keep roads safe during the winter. Make sure to stick around.
If you milk with robots, you know that cow flow is everything. Cow Corner Consulting helps you maximize cow flow by working with your team to improve your barn workflows, your feed management, and your system settings. Visit cow-corner.co to learn how. Cow Corner is an independent consulting company and works with all brands of robots. They're ready to go to work for you. Sign up for the free e-newsletter or contact John Gerbitz at cow-corner.co.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a heads up seed treatment.
Join Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Pam will be broadcasting on Thursday at 11:30 a.m. with Compere Financial, located in booth 409. Leave with more knowledge and connections with a visit with Compere Financial. Enter to win Milwaukee tools for your farm. At 2 p.m., the broadcast continues with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board at booth 402. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Imagine driving down a snow-covered road, confident that the surface beneath your tires is as safe as it can be. Now, what if I told you that the secret to those safer roads might just be something that you have in your fridge right now? Greene County is using an unlikely tool in the fight against winter's icy grip. And it's cheese brine. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And Chris Narvison, Greene County Highway Commissioner, says this innovative approach not only keeps roads clear, but also helps protect the environment.
We have a agreement with Grande Cheese out of Judah, and they specially formulated just for our use. So the fun thing about cheese brine is that, you know, around the cheese industry, it's kind of a trade secret as far as what the salinity levels are. So they'll put it right to our specifications, which is between 22 and 23% salt.
So how does it work then to help with snow and ice removal? Because, you know, how is it compared to your traditional salt that we see some other counties using?
Cheese brine is actually a little more effective than what regular brine is. So let's back up and explain what brine is, because there's a lot of misconceptions about what brine is out on the roads, because it's, like I said, it was a 22 to 23% salt product. So how it works is, and I think people probably notice throughout the state that more and more highway departments are putting this, they see these white lines on the pavement that they're out pre-brining for storms. That brine gives a little, buy you time. You know, if frosted roads, we may not have to go out. Every time we call in the crews, that's a $20,000 bill. So if we can call them in and we can do stuff on straight time, we're going to do it. And sometimes it'll just take care of all of it. But it also gives you a little bit of a, I'm going to call it a snot layer between the snow and the pavement so that the car tires kind of cut back through and give you a little better traction. So regular salt is obviously 100% salt. So when you're out putting down salt, you're putting down 100% salt. This product, you're putting down 22, 23% salt. So you're reducing the amount of salt that you're putting down significantly. Not all storms can you use the same amount of interchangeable that you can use brine only. But the snows that we had roads, we just used brine on. So the beauty about the cheese brine, it's both environmentally friendly because brine is a waste product for the industry for cheese. Where do the waste products? Where do these industrial waste products go? Well, they go to a firm that will mix waste products, and all of these things are spread back on our farm fields. Pretty sure salt's not really good for plants. So by pulling that out of the stream, we're helping that also.
So then there's obviously a bunch of benefits that you just were covering about using cheese brine compared to that traditional road salt. But you mentioned, how do you choose what storms to use the brine? Or what is that criteria to even be able to, okay, I can use it today?
There's where the rubber meets the road, right? As the temperatures fall, we won't put brine on when it gets, temperatures of below 15, below 10. If we can keep the pavement temperatures in that 20 degree range, so all of our trucks have sensors that we can tell what the temperatures are, because it's very important in maintaining highways, what temperature that road is and when the salts start to work. So it's kind of an art, but what I will say too is that the salt does not melt the ice. It's the brine the salt makes on the road that melts the ice. What Green Hounding has done for 20 years, we're expanding the operations and trying to use, when we can, use just cheese brine. We've been pre-wetting our salts. So when you pre-wet, you pre-activate that. So when our guys used to run out of brine, it was worrisome to them because then the next round they're coming around, they don't see the salt working. So what do you do then? Now they're freaking out because they're worried about the safety of the general public also. So they're going to put more salt down. When you pre-treat it, it activates that salt much quicker and gets that brine working into a brine on that road.
How much cheese brine do you guys use then in a typical winter season?
The issues we've had with using brines and cheese brine is truck capacity. We've got a lot of little trucks that go out and plow. It's more weight that you have to put on the truck. So we to scale up to what we're doing now, we now have three new trucks that are outfitted with both brine and salt, so they can choose which they want to use. Going back to that, so last year we used 100,000 gallons of cheese brine. Well, this year so far, we've already used 75,000 gallons, and we're just started into the winter. So as we ramp up, we're going to outstrip our supply, and we're going to have to go around to some of these other cheese plants. We haven't gone to any other cheese plants because if you have a partnership with somebody who puts an investment in there for you, you don't want to mess with that until it's beyond what they can supply. So we will be looking for more suppliers as we go. And as more trucks come online, we're going to use more.
So what are some of the challenges then that you do have with storage or, like you said, the equipment that is needed? How much does it cost for a truck to be able to handle both the brine and the salt versus the normal trucks that some of the other counties have?
That's a good question. So to set up a brine truck, we really need a tandem or a triaxle truck. The cost difference in there, a system, it's about $330,000 to get a truck outfitted with the brine. If we were going to do the littler trucks, we're talking $280,000. So, these trucks are not cheap, but that's not it. So now you've got to house these trucks. So Greene County, we have a problem because our facilities will not hold that amount of trucks. So these trucks that we have online now, they're parked in a shop area or the grease shed area because they won't fit in our regular parking areas where the other trucks do. So we're gearing up. Hopefully that Greene County can see the need that for new facilities, and then we'll be able to save even more money.
When I think of cheese, you know, depending on how long it's out, cheese can start to smell. I mean, it ages. So does the cheese brine leave any noticeable smell on the roads, or what is that?
It's like anything. When it's fresh, it's not bad. When it sits around, it might get a little ripe on you. So this last year, we filled all of our tanks. We've got about 70,000 gallons storage that we can do. So we filled them all up with cheese brine for this winter. Well, when we started using this winter, I will say that it was a little, I don't know if people like Limburger, because we got a Limburger cheese factory right in Greene County. It doesn't smell that bad.
So what feedback have you received then from the community because of this pretty unique approach that you guys have been doing over the years?
When I first took over the reins as commissioner in Greene County, we did a talk with a local optimist club and was telling the benefits about what we have. Well, I had somebody call the DOT and worried about their son because he's got a dairy allergy. I was like, what? What is your son licking the road for? I think we got a little bit bigger problem here.
Have other counties or even other states reached out to you then to kind of learn about how maybe they can implement this? Or have you been working to help Grande get in contact with other counties, or what does that look like? Because you guys are kind of the trendsetters here. You know, I know you've been doing it for a while, but it's a good thing to be doing.
It's a very good thing to do. And that's another good question. I had Sheboygan County reach out to us to ask, because some of their constituents say, well, why are we even putting salt on the road? Why don't we use cheese brine? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. There is salt in that, you know, thinking that you're not going to use it. But the thing about using cheese, it's not going to work everywhere. It's the hauling cost. Greene County has the cheapest brine in the state of Wisconsin. And that's for one reason, because we don't pay anything for the cheese brine. But that drives the cost down. But it's a function of hauling. And it's not only the function of hauling, it's also the function of the cheese factory have the ability to blend it to our specifications and then put it on our trucks too. So there is some investment to them. But what do these cheese plants do with this cheese brine? That's a, like I said, it was a waste product. They pay to get rid of it. So there is an ability. So if they're going to do an investment, they're going to want to make sure that we're going to be able to utilize it. So as we go forward, I'm very optimistic.
That's Chris Narveson, Greene County Highway Commissioner, along with us. They have been using cheese brine for the past 20 years now. And thanks to this innovative method, Greene County is now the second least salt-using county in southern Wisconsin, proving that when it comes to road safety and sustainability, a little creativity can go a long way. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocent is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet,
yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some of the authors of Project 2025 now in the Trump administration. What are their plans for our country? All the details with Andra Watkins coming up. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Eastern edge of the state, all around the Sheboygan area, right up the lake shore, right up into far northeast Wisconsin, in that eastern part of the state, all the way from Ozaukee in Washington County up to Fond du Lac County, Washera County, and all the way up to Wausau, under a winter weather advisory till 7 this morning. There's a wind advisory kicking up today for all of us. That starts around 9 a.m. And wind gusts right out of the west today could easily be at 40 and 45 miles per hour. So we're going to have a lot of wind to fight, no doubt about that. Skies will be clearing out, though. We don't have much more of that precipitation to talk about. The next big thing to look toward is late Friday night or into Saturday, when the next system builds right in from the west, and it's going to bring some snow. I've been seeing a line from about the Twin Cities down toward about Fond du Lac or Lake Winnebago, if you will. And in that area, there's some talk of snow amounts that could be up towards 6 or 8 inches through the day Saturday. Well, we're going to keep an eye on that one, let you know what to expect. But it does appear that more wintry weather with snow is finally going to come our way as we make our way on toward the early part of this weekend. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session. And don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
It's all about the bacon. Hanging bacon. Enjoy bacon and friends while celebrating at the 2025 Porkapalooza, Thursday, February 6th at the Corn Soy Expo in the Wisconsin Dells. Porkapalooza features pork appetizers, beverages, live music by Super Tuesday in both live and silent auctions supporting youth programs and the Wisconsin pork industry. There will also be some special appearances by Mr. Pig and U.S. Olympic swimmer Phoebe Bacon. Porkapalooza is presented by the Wisconsin Pork Association. To learn more, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Did you know the definition of comfort foods is food that provides consolation or a feeling of well-being? I'll tell you what, they've got it from door to door at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke inviting you to stop by Bavaria Sausage on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, online, BavariaSausage.com. If you're looking for comfort foods, look no further to Bavaria Sausage. With their old world flavors and diverse products, you won't run out of recipe ideas, that's for sure. Take a look, of course, at all their authentic German recipes that are available there, and some of the special items that you won't find anywhere else. Bavaria Sausage also looking forward to the breaks in Wisconsin's winter weather, where you might even think about grilling out. That's their strong suit, making sure whatever the weather allows that you've got a Bavaria brat ready for the grill. BavariaSausage.com. Check it out today.
Well, you know, Stu, strong winds and snow coming up. Sounds like the Wisconsin I've always heard about.
That's kind of it. If you're heading east today, great. Put up your sail and take advantage of the wind. But if you're heading into the west, you're going to fight a big one today. A windy day. The wind advisory kicks in at 9 this morning, ending at 6 this afternoon in the west, 9 tonight in the east. The winter weather advisory in that central to east central part of Wisconsin wrapping up here at about 7. A little light snow in the east yet this morning. Otherwise, morning clouds clearing out. Getting windy today. Mid-30s in the south. Could be only in the upper 20s. In fact, temperatures falling in the west already today, and those west winds gusting up near 40 and 45. Clearing out colder tonight, single digits, maybe very low teens in the south, and winds out of the northwest, a good 10 to 20, still gusting to 40, diminishing late. Tomorrow, a little sunshine tries to climb back out, 20s for most of us, and by Saturday, that snow chance, Ben, and we'll keep an eye on the amounts, but I'd say we're going to have shoveling to do late Saturday and Sunday.
I don't like the manual labor of the shoveling too much in the wintertime here.
You're young. That's good exercise. It's good for you.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, thank you, Stu. That was your weather update with ag meteorologist Stu Muck. Make sure to stay tuned. We get to hear from our friends over at EverAg coming up in just a little bit.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Hey, Badger fans, time is running out to catch Wisconsin men's basketball at the Kohl Center this season. Don't miss your chance to see John Blackwell, John Tanjay, and the rest of the Badgers as they battle Big Ten opponents on their home court. Be part of the action and secure your seats today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 2018, Utah voters approved a ballot initiative establishing an independent redistricting commission to create fair voting districts. The legislature neutralized it and gerrymandered the maps anyway. It's now back before a Utah judge. Better Boundaries Proposition 4 established a commission independent from the legislature charged with creating fair, communities of interest-driven maps for Congress, state legislature, and school districts. The Utah News-Dispatch reports that in 2020, the Utah legislature passed SB 200, which made the commission advisory, not independent, then gerrymandered the maps to protect seats and consolidate GOP power. The Utah Supreme Court found for the voters last July, agreeing that the legislature did not have the authority under state law to override the voters' decision. In response, the legislature proposed Amendment D, which, if approved by voters, would give the legislature power to do so. The language of that proposition was deemed deceptive by the court and ruled void. Now the case is back in Utah's 3rd District Court, where Judge Diana Gibson heard 3 hours of testimony January 31st. The League of Women Voters and Mormon Women for Ethical Government argued that the Independent Commission's powers should be fully restored and fair congressional maps put in place. A decision is expected within weeks. We have links to local reporting and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Today is the day for about 2 million federal workers to tell the president and Elon Musk whether they want to stay on the job. Here's ABC's Christiane Cordero.
Nearly 2 million federal government workers face a deadline today to take a buyout from the Trump administration or risk being fired. At least 40,000 government employees have already accepted the buyout, representing about 2% of the federal workforce.
The buyout's part of Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. Democrats in Congress are demanding to know more about his role in the administration now that Musk has access to millions of federal workers' personal information. The proposal to take over the Gaza Strip by the Trump administration is being met with pushback by the Palestinians. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas calling it a serious violation of international law. Police say the shooter who killed 10 people in Sweden's worst mass shooting earlier this week had a connection to the adult education school where it happened. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. A new reboot is on the way, which is not a surprise, as Hollywood seems determined to remake everything it's ever done. This time, it's a new iteration of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Star of the original, Sarah Michelle Gellar, will be part of the cast, but not the central focus. This is the second attempt at a reboot. One in 2018 did not quite make it to the little screen. When and if the show drops, it will premiere on Hulu. During a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, actress Nicole Kidman told the host about her favorite keepsake, the handwritten lyrics to Elton John's famous song, Your Song. Kidman was one of the stars of Moulin Rouge, in which the song was featured and sang by Ewan McGregor. Your Song has been covered many times over the years. Great tune. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks and their losing streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks snapping a four-game losing streak by beating the Hornets in Charlotte 112-102. Damian Lillard with 29 points after Giannis had to sit out the game with a sore calf muscle. Next, the Bucks face the Hawks tomorrow night. Head coach Doc Rivers.
No one likes losing, I can tell you that. So getting a win, going to Atlanta, you know, hopefully having Giannis back and see what we have from there.
The Bucks making moves before today's trade deadline, sending Chris Middleton and their first-round pick A.J. Johnson to the Wizards for Kyle Kuzman and Wisconsin native Patrick Baldwin. Then last night, they picked up a center, Jericho Sims from the Knicks, for guard DeLon Wright and Cash. NFL, the Chiefs and the Eagles back on the practice field. Do the Packers have enough experienced players to make it to a Super Bowl? Packers running back Josh Jacobs.
I think that it can go either way, honestly. But I think that what we need is just some guys that we know that in this league are already proven and they've done it at a high level.
That's Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Dan Schaefer joins us from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor to talk about the changing times in the Republican world. Has professional wrestling taken over? We'll explain.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The snow is done, but it is going to be windy today, so there could be a little blowing snow at times, especially in rural areas. Our high 25, it'll be partly cloudy, wind will be west, gusting to near 40. 3 above tonight, looking forward to more snow from Friday night through much of Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 22.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet,
yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Oh, but, I mean, this team is not overlooking anybody. And I also want to note real quick that Arizona win, Evo, back in November, is looking like one of the better wins because they are just dominating that Big 12 conference right now, 10-1.
Welcome back, everybody, on this icy Thursday morning. I'm Ben Jarbo joining you, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. And like many of you, I too am a country music fan, so I figure let's take a look back in time to see what has happened in country music history on this day. On February 6th in 1960, George Hamilton IV was inducted into the Grand Ole Opry. He's well known for his song, Abilene. In 1962, in Lubbock, Texas, on this day, Richie McDonald was born. He was the lead singer for Lone Star up until 2007, and they are well known for their hit song, No News. And in 2005, on this day, Wyatt Merle Kilgore died. He was a co-writer for the well-known song by Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire. In 2010, Winona Judd announced that she would be reuniting with her mother, Naomi Judd, to tour and record a studio album for the final time. And in 2012, Randy Travis apologized after being arrested in Denton County, Texas, for public intoxication outside of a church. And finally, in 2022, Tyler Hubbard and Brian Kelly, formerly known as Florida Georgia Line, announced that they would be splitting up after many years performing together. And now if we take a look at more recent happenings, within the last year, Wisconsin passed legislation to allow heavier weights of liquid dairy products on state roads. Stephanie Hoff joins us with Luke Buholzer, the vice president of sales for Klondike Cheese Company, on an update on how this has affected their production.
It's been almost a year since Wisconsin lawmakers raised dairy hauling capacity on state roads. Luke Buholzer, vice president of sales with Klondike Cheese, says expanding milk hauling capacity to include all liquid dairy products, such as liquid whey, has created a path to efficiency and sustainability.
Yeah, the old limit was 50,000 pounds per load. The new limit is 90,000 pounds, so it's almost double, not quite. So when you look at that, that's less trucks on the road, that's less drivers needed, less washes per trailer needed. So overall, it's a good thing for the industry and for the environment and for basically everyone in Wisconsin. You know, it's fewer trucks on the road. It is taking some time to actually implement that because, as your listeners know, equipment's expensive. So a lot of the trucking companies are looking forward to buying these bigger trailers, but they also can't just dump all their old trailers and get new ones right away.
So it's a little bit of a transition process to make sure that you have the tankers that fit the bill for this. The point of expanding the capacity to all liquid dairy products, the point was because of liquid whey. Is that correct?
That's correct. You know, so the old, you know, the rough number is 10 pounds of milk to 1 pound of cheese. And so that means we have 9 pounds of whey left over. So, you know, that's almost as important for the weight limits as the milk was.
A valuable byproduct here in Wisconsin that gets sent all over the state, which is why you wanted to have larger tankers to haul it. But why is it liquid and not dry when you haul it?
So for us, it's liquid. We do actually concentrate it here on site, but we don't have enough volume to justify putting in a drying operation. So that's why we ship it to a drying operation. To have a dryer, you have to have a certain volume. So generally, it's larger plants, and even the larger plants collect whey from a lot of other plants to justify the cost and volume that a dryer needs.
Tell us, where do consumers typically run into whey in their everyday life?
Oh, if they just open their pantry, almost everything in their pantry is going to have some form of whey in it. You know, a lot of people think about it just as, you know, sports nutrition, but it really goes into all kinds of consumer products. And then over the last decade plus, it's actually been going into, they've broken the way down into more isolates that actually go into pharmaceuticals.
Since Wisconsin is allowing heavier trucks of liquid dairy products on state roads, Klondike Cheese has the opportunity to use less trucks, less water, and free up staff time. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thank you, Stephanie. And before we get to those markets, yesterday, Governor Tony Evers announced the new budget for Wisconsin, including what's going into agriculture. Let's take a listen in to what he says the budget will allow for the ARIP program.
Earlier today, I announced the latest round of funding through the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program, or ARIP, as most people know it. And that's to support another 55 projects of fixing and upgrading aging local roads that support the farmers and producers in 36 counties across the state. And that's great news. We're going to keep building on our work in the next budget to make sure farmers and producers and the industries can get from point A to point B safely.
Governor Evers said that funding is part of the $80 million going towards Wisconsin agriculture in the next budget. Now let's take a look at what the markets are doing this morning. Cash corn is up 1 1/4 at 494.5, and new crop corn is up 1/4 at 468.75. Cash soybeans are up 6 3/4 at 1063.75, where new crop soybeans are up 7 1/4 at 1069.75. March wheat is up 1.5 at 573.75, and July wheat is up 1.5 as well at 598.25. March Class 3 milk contracts are up 9 cents at 2010 100 weight, and April contracts are up 4 cents at 1972 100 weight. We check in with our friends at EverAg in a little bit. Stay tuned.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, more visits to new legislators and members of the LGBTQ caucus, Senator Kristen Elfheim and Assembly Rep Christian Phelps.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Him from the Dane County Humane Society, and that got me wondering what the process is to have an animal go from being surrendered or first showing up at the Humane Society to being up for adoption. Lisa Bernard, the Development and Communications Supervisor at the Dane County Humane Society, was able to give me a bit of insight as to how many people it actually takes to be able to process these animals and get them ready to find their forever homes.
So across the entire shelter, which is the main shelter, our wildlife center, and our two thrift stores, we are at about 150 employees. And we have over 1,000 volunteers and counting. There's so much that we want to help animals with, and our volunteers, they work in every facet of the facilities to help us be able to carry out our mission. So we have positions for volunteers from working in our animal medical services, where they're helping animals after surgery with waking up from sedation. They work in our wildlife center, especially our wildlife center. They need more volunteers during what is called baby season, which is from about April until about September, because we see an influx of young animals coming in who need care. So we have a lot more volunteers at that time too, and they're helping provide food for them, making their food, and then also taking care of their cages and so forth. We have people volunteering at our thrift stores, helping run the cash register, helping sort donations, price donations. And then we have people who are at the shelter who work in our volunteer department. So they don't work as closely with the animals, but they're doing like paperwork and so forth. Or maybe they're working in our front office with our lost and found, where they're reviewing lost reports that were filed by people in the community, and then found reports that were filed also by people in the community if they found a stray animal, and they try to see if they can make a match. And they're also looking at the stray animals that are coming into our doors to see if the lost report matches that stray, to try to reunite the family. And then we also have education programs, and we have some volunteers who take care of our education animals.
Bernard says that all this help allows them to bring in nearly 4,300 companion animals every year. Now it's time to check in with our friends over at EverAg, and today we have Matt Tranel joining me. He is the Senior Dairy Market Advisor with EverAg. Matt, recently the big story has been these tariffs and now getting paused and pushed back. What exactly are you seeing with that?
Yes, and the big talking point for really the last 2 weeks, the last week or so, it's been an incredible amount of volatility in the markets. As of February 1st, President Trump was looking to throw some tariffs on three of our major trading partners, Canada, Mexico, and also China. And basically down to the last hour, we were expecting some tariffs to go into place, but there were some opt-outs in order to delay some of these tariffs, and those were essentially sending more troops to the U.S.-Mexico border, more troops to the Canadian-U.S. border to kind of secure our borders against illegal immigration, also tackling some of the drug flow coming into the United States. So both Canada and Mexico did agree to send roughly 10,000 troops to their respective borders to try to combat some of, I guess, President Trump's desires to curb both of those issues in his mind. And ultimately, as a result of that, we have watched these tariffs get delayed until March 1st now. In the meantime, we will be watching negotiations between countries to see if they can work out some type of compromise in order to avoid that. But last week, the dairy markets were expecting tariffs to go against some of our biggest trading partners. Mexico alone during the 2024 calendar year was bringing in roughly 30 to 40 million pounds of U.S. cheese per month. And looking at a 25% tariff, that was going to make U.S. cheese significantly more expensive to purchase for the Mexican country and citizens. So that was a big thing in order to avoid markets were limit down on Friday. They've essentially recovered all of that price over the course of the days of Monday and Tuesday. So it's still looking like China is going to be looking at some tariffs going into effect on Tuesday night. But we'll have to, I guess, see how that all plays out too.
Well, and if we shift a little bit here, the USDA cattle inventory report has come out. When you take a look at that, what are you seeing when it comes to the dairy side?
Yeah, so this is an annual report that comes out in late January. And basically we look at the number of dairy cattle in the country as well as the heifer numbers that also come out. We always get a little bit of a look at it through the milk production reports as far as milk cows in the herd, some of the estimates, but this is more of a little bit more of a census, I guess you could say. And ultimately, USDA kept the U.S. dairy herd at 9.35 million head. That is in line with that's in line with what the milk production reports have been saying. I think the interesting one was replacement heifers. You look at replacement heifers, and they were down 40,000 head from January of 2024. So that was nine tenths of a percent year over year lower. That supports a lot of the rhetoric that we've been hearing from dairy farmers out there in regards to heifers being very tough to find. When you do find them, they're costing you a lot of money, upwards of $4,000 a head. And so it does support a lot of the rhetoric that we've seen out there. When you look at the heifer to cow ratio, basically that ratio is 41.9%. That's the lowest level we've seen since 1991. So that does tell you that heifer numbers have undoubtedly tightened up significantly. When we look at total heifer replacements, we're at 3.91 million head. When we look at heifers that are expected to calve during the year, it's at 2.5 million. So it looks like heifers are going to continue to be tough to find, although we have heard of some breeding program starting to switch a little bit more to sex semen, but obviously we know that it takes 19, 20, 21 months for those animals to get into the milking herd over the course of time.
And in other recent happenings, the GDT recently came out. What exactly are you seeing in those regards?
Yeah, so the global dairy trade, we had a strong day of trade here today. So this is, again, the trade that happens in New Zealand and Australia. We call it Oceania. Overall, global dairy trade, the auction was up 3.7% overall. And a lot of the major players and products that make up that particular session were all stronger in a nice way. So skim milk powder was up 3.9%. Whole milk powder was up 4.5%. Those two products alone make up over 75% of that particular auction. Cheese was up 3.7%. Butter was up 3.4%. And anhydrous milk fat was up 2.3%. So what that means to the United States market is that if the world market continues to rally, the American market is not going to have to go down quite as far to book exports if that's indeed the route that the United States products decide to go. if we decide to keep up with world markets, and that just means that we're likely going to trend higher along with the world. So positive news out of Global Dairy Trade here today, and hopefully that continues and plays out into our United States markets as well.
That was Matt Tranel, the Senior Dairy Market Advisor with EverAg, joining us this morning. If you have any questions, check out their website at ever.ag.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Field agronomists share some candid impressions about crop production today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A farm can be a wonderful place to grow up, but it can also be a dangerous place. Statistically, a child dies on a farm every 3 days somewhere in America. That needs to be fixed. Do whatever you can to make sure your kids keep safety top of mind, working or playing. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. During a recent Illinois Soybean Association event, three independent agronomists pulled no punches in a panel discussion on crop production. First, Kelly Robertson of Precision Crop Services in Benton, Illinois.
The cover crop thing is probably my biggest pet peeve in the sense that cover crops are sold as the cure-all. I mean, it'll make you smarter, richer, make your wife better looking, get your kids a degree. And the things that are promised through cover crops are not really real or obtainable. And the programs that are out there to promote cover crops have done farmers a great disservice.
Moving on to biologicals with Kyle Stull of Stull Agronomy in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Trying to tell somebody that your soil should have this amount of whatever bacteria in it isn't really accurate because I don't know if my soils are going to be the same as yours, and I'm pretty sure they're not. And it's a lot of pseudoscience and trying to like figure this stuff out. Maybe eventually we'll get there, but I don't think we're there right now.
Then Kelly Corrigan with McGillicuddy Corrigan Agronomics in Bloomington, Illinois.
You have to look at your most yield limiting factor, and that's what you have to attack first. And I feel like people will sell you micronutrients, but if your problem is potassium, micronutrients aren't going to help that much. So you really have to know for your own operation what the problem is.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Max Inc. has a super show this weekend. Join us as we welcome The Flavor That Kills, Rob Dees and the Steepwater Band. Plus, we'll talk weather with Rippyology. Saturday and Sunday evening at 6, it's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet,
yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Nearly 2 million federal workers deciding today if they want to quit working for the government and take the buyout offer put forth by the Trump administration. That coming as federal access to millions of Americans' personal information is being blocked, at least for now.
Elon Musk's sprawling effort to reduce the size of the federal government hit a snag on Wednesday after a lawsuit brought by three federal unions resulted in a temporary agreement to prohibit the Treasury Department from sharing sensitive financial information with the Department of Government Efficiency. Two Treasury Department employees associated with Musk will continue to have read-only access to the data. That potentially includes the names, phone numbers, social security numbers, and bank information for millions of taxpayers. Peter Haralambos, ABC News, New York.
Industrial giant Honeywell has announced it plans to split itself up into three separate companies. Palestinians and others in the Middle East pushing back on the Trump administration plan for the U.S. to take over the Gaza Strip. This is ABC News. There's a new tariff now in place for